Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferentz.
Biden's defense of unions, in his own words, Montana's rich labor history, what the UA said about defeating right to work there this week. And today on the show, Kelly and Ferraro on personal injury cases and the Better Business Bureau. Good afternoon and welcome to the Thursday, March 4th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on various platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora. And remember this, when you get an opportunity to sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis, give us a rating. We'd appreciate a five-star rating. Two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with Brian Herberth. Brian is one of the many fine attorneys at one of our sponsors, Kelly and Ferraro, kelly-ferraro.com. He actually started working there 20 years ago as a paralegal, returned, and was hired as an attorney in 2015. And let's see, in December of 2019, he was actually named a partner at Kelly and Ferraro. He has successfully tried a number of cases specializing in asbestos and mesothelioma litigation, car accidents, nursing home abuse, medical malpractice. In addition, he's worked on several class action cases and is currently representing municipalities against drug manufacturers involving the opioid epidemic. That is a huge case, huge case. He is licensed to practice in the state of Ohio and the United States District Court located in Cleveland, Ohio. And he's got a couple of nice wins here. A jury verdict for $90,000 for injuries sustained when a teenager was struck by a motor vehicle while the teen was crossing the street. Here's another one. He settled over $5 million in asbestos-related claims, including but not limited to third-party claims and bankruptcy trust claims. Here's another motorcycle accident insurance claim for $275,000. We're going to talk about personal injury cases primarily. Motorcycle accidents, you've heard that. Truck collisions, drilling and fracking accidents. And also, Kelly and Ferraro represents police officers who are injured in the line of duty. So lots to talk about with Brian Herberth as our first guest. Sue McConnell, the Better Business Bureau, will be joining us later in the show to talk about more scams. Number one, they did a scam tracker risk report. They do this quite frequently, and it shows online scams were the riskiest ones for 2020. And keep in mind, a lot of people were at home because of the pandemic. They were working from home or they lost their job and they're on the computer all day. And you know, there's all kind of offers that pop up. Get rich quick. You know, a lot of people took advantage of them and their wallet is a little lighter right now. So we'll get into that. Unemployment fraud. This is a huge one. And I know this is happening in the state of Ohio. I'm sure it's happening in other states. I'm sure Sue will have some details on that. But it turns out a lot of people are finding out that they have become a victim of identity theft as they get a 1099 tax form from the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services for jobless benefits that they actually did not get. Somebody used their name, because they probably got their Social Security number, and filed for unemployment benefits. And you're getting taxed on them now. Something that you did not receive. And I understand there's a lot of people in that category. Social Security imposter scams. We'll talk about that. And one more here. Because of the vaccine that's being distributed now, it's getting better, but it's still somewhat limited. There are vaccine scams. According to the BBB, someone will call you, text you, or email you with an offer to move you up on the vaccination list for a fee or a prepayment to get a shot. That is a scam. Do not take advantage of that. So Sue McConnell will be covering all this as our second guest on the show. In a statement on Sunday night, President Biden issued an unprecedented call to action for working people across the country to exercise their right to form unions. We talked about this on the show 2 days ago. And I finally secured the Twitter feed of which Biden talked about unions, about how unions lift up workers, both union and non-union. And let's listen to it right here on America's Workforce.
I've long said America wasn't built by Wall Street. It was built by the middle class, and unions built the middle class. Unions put power in the hands of workers. They level the playing field. They give you a stronger voice for your health, your safety, higher wages, protections from racial discrimination and sexual harassment. Unions lift up workers, both union and non-union, and especially black and brown workers. I've made it clear, when I was running, that my administration's policy would be to support unions organizing and the right to collectively bargain. I'm keeping that promise. You should all remember, the National Labor Relations Act didn't just say that unions are allowed to exist. It said that we should encourage unions. So let me be really clear. It's not up to me to decide whether anyone should join a union. But let me be even more clear. It's not up to an employer to decide that either. The choice to join a union is up to the workers. Full stop. Full stop. Today and over the next few days and weeks, workers in Alabama and all across America are voting on whether to organize a union in their workplace. This is vitally important, a vitally important choice as America grapples with the deadly pandemic, the economic crisis, and the reckoning on race, what it reveals, the deep disparities that still exist in our country. And there should be no intimidation, no coercion, no threats, no anti-union propaganda. No supervisors who confront employees about their union preferences. You know, every worker should have a free and fair choice to join a union. The law guarantees that choice. And it's your right, not that of an employer. It's your right. No employer can take that right away. So make your voice heard. God bless you all, and may God protect the workers and their families who are trying to figure out how to make it fairly. Thank you.
That was President Joe Biden on Sunday night on Twitter. And that comment prompted this statement from Rich Trumka, president of the Labor Federation. He said the following: something special is happening in America. Across the country, workers are organizing and standing up for our values in our workplaces and in our communities. President Biden made the most clear and convincing arguments on behalf of the labor movement that any commander in chief has made in living memory. Joe said, he called him Joe, Joe said what we all know to be true. Unions lift up workers. Unions created the middle class, and unions have never been more important than now. Now is the time for us to band together in solidarity, to defeat the coronavirus, to end racial injustice, and to build back better with unions. Together, this president and our labor movement will make the difference. Rich Trumka, president of the AFL-CIO. We have more information on what happened in Montana this week. And if you did not listen to the show yesterday, they defeated right to work. That's right. They voted down a right to work bill with the help of a very, very strong showing from labor. The bill, HB 251, like other so-called right to work legislation, would have barred private sector unions from requiring non-members covered by collective bargaining agreements to pay dues. Now, unions turned out in force. It was like 12 to 1 regarding the comments here, and they actually filled the Montana State Capitol with hundreds of workers for that vote. And how about this? 29 Republicans joined all 33 Democrats in opposing the bill, which lost 62-38. This legislation was the third anti-union bill that the Montana legislature voted down this week alone, after defeating SB 89, which would have prohibited public employees from deducting union dues from paychecks, and SB 228, which would have made it easier for public employees to opt out of a union. C.J. Schultz is president of the United Association of Plumbers and Pipefitters, Local 30 in Montana. C.J. said he was proud of the way his members organized to defeat these bills, but labor needs to start being on the offense and not the defense. Amen to that. Though Montana is perhaps known as a red state, you need to know it has a long and very rich history of labor organizing. During debate on HB 251 on the Montana House floor, Representative Derek Harvey of Butte, Montana, invoked Frank Little and the Butte strikes of 1917, a little known but fascinating radical part of Montana's history and labor history in general. Now, let me tell you this. Frank Little was what they called a wobbly. Just Google that. You'll know what I'm talking about. Very outspoken. He crisscrossed the country in the early 20th century, agitating against capitalism and World War I and organizing workers. He arrived in Butte, Montana in 1917 and helped organize a copper miners union strike against the incredibly powerful and monopolistic Anaconda Mining Company. Little was murdered under mysterious conditions about a month later. Well, turns out the mining strikes in Butte electrified the country and was a defining moment in American labor history and continued to be a site of militant labor organizing over the next 100 years. And it's interesting to know that the representative of Butte, Montana, invoked this history in his remarks against a modern right-to-work bill 100 years later. Isn't that fascinating? A little labor history for you there. And let's see, we have one more here. Good news. Communication Workers of America announced this week that workers at Glitch have signed a collective bargaining agreement with management, which the CWA said was the first agreement signed by white-collar tech workers in the country. Though there has been a rush of unionizing activity within the tech industry, Glitch workers are the first to not just form a union, but also reach an agreement with management and sign a contract. The contract lasts for 11 months, does not include wage increases, which the union said was not its priority. Instead, the agreement includes just cause protections for all Glitch employees, recall rights for workers that were laid off earlier in the pandemic, and other worker protections. That's interesting. Not so much the wages. And the tech workers do make a good wage, let's be honest there. But they wanted the protections of the union, and they got it. All right, we have to break. Again, you're listening to America's Workforce. Coming up next, our segment with Kelly and Ferraro.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the United Labor Agency, celebrating 50 years. You can find more at ulagency.org. Before we link up with Brian Herberth on behalf of Kelly and Ferraro, another great sponsor of the show, I have to mention this to you. A group of Democratic House Committee chairs sent a letter to President Biden Monday asking that he require N95 air filtration masks through OSHA for meatpacking plants, for prisons, and other risky workplaces. Makes sense. The N95 masks filter out about 95% of small air particles, mitigating the spread of the virus. Well, get this. A spokeswoman for the North American Meat Institute said the administration should instead focus on vaccine distribution and not masks. Have you noticed what the Biden administration has been doing lately? In fact, they're talking earlier that it wasn't going to be until the end of this year that people would be fully vaccinated, like they call herd immunity. And now that's been moved up to the end of May, just a couple months off. He is focusing on vaccine distribution. I don't know what it is about the mask. I just don't understand why people keep pushing that back. But anyway, I had to share that with you. All right, let's go to our live line and welcome Brian Richard Herberth to the show. And Brian is one of the many fine attorneys at Kelly and Ferraro. He actually started there 20 years ago as a paralegal, came back in 2015, and he is now a partner. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show, and congratulations on being a partner. That's quite a distinction. And obviously, I was reading your bio. You're certainly worth it because you've got a couple of nice cases under your belt. So thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right, you want to focus on personal injury. And we cater a lot to the building trades. And, you know, it's a dangerous occupation. Anything could be dangerous. A slip, a fall, a traffic accident. Where are we with personal injury cases today? And I bring that up because I recall some years back, a couple of lawmakers got together, and I know it was the Chamber of Commerce, saying, hey, you know what? These personal injury cases gotten out of hand. We got to rein them in a little bit. So can you give us an update where we stand right now, Brian?
Absolutely. I think the basic premise any individual, any hardworking American out there should take is that the insurance company is not your friend. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily out to get you, but they are certainly out there in an attempt to try to mitigate your damages and your just and fair compensation. The law has put in certain protectors to help the insurance company. They've done things like subrogation, which is a big word for your health insurance company to be paid back when you collect from a third party. And there's other obstacles and hurdles along the way. But the main goal for the working, hard men and women working and listen to your program is to make sure that they have enough insurance, the correct amount of insurance, and that they protect themselves.
Gotcha. All right. So you're paying into insurance and you're sometimes, or probably many times, you're not getting your money's worth should that accident happen. You mentioned that word subrogation. Why don't we start right there? What the heck does that mean?
So if you're involved in, we'll take a car accident as an example. If you're involved in a car accident and you go and you end up going to the emergency room, seeing your doctor a couple times, and you use your health insurance, or if an individual is on Medicare or Medicaid and they use that insurance, and then later on down the road you collect from a third party, say a Nationwide Insurance or an auto insurance company, you are under a contractual right, or in some instances a statutory right, to pay back your insurance company that paid on those bills. So the law has changed over the years. That's one of the changes that we were discussing. Whereas in the past, your insurance company would pay your bills like they normally would, and you make your premium, and you would go away. And now they have a right to be paid back on those medical bills. That's called subrogation.
I gotcha. And that law has been in effect for a number of years now, I take it?
Yeah, for a while now. Well, the statutory obligation, that's Medicare, Medicaid, Bureau of Workers' Compensation, that's been around. And these insurance companies, the private companies, got smart several years ago and put it in their contract. So when you're signing up for your health insurance, like most people do, they don't read everything, but it's in there.
Brian, in your experience, which is pretty vast at Kelly and Ferraro, what are you primarily dealing with? I mean, is it car accidents, motorcycle accidents, job injuries? When it comes to personal injury, what's the bulk of it right now?
Yeah, I'd say, for the most part, as I think your listeners know, Kelly and Ferraro deals a lot with asbestos litigation, still going after the various manufacturers of asbestos-containing products. And that's the bulk of probably what I do. But my background at Kelly and Ferraro and other firms that I've worked at for over the years has been car accidents. And I do have several car accidents. And on top of that, I've done some nursing home neglect cases, some medical malpractice cases. But for the most part, it is car accidents.
Okay, let's use an example here. Let's start with the car accident. I mean, they happen every day.
Sure.
Say, and if we can create a scenario here, and maybe you could walk our listeners through this, myself included. You get into a car accident, and you're injured. You hurt an arm and a leg, and you're on your way to work. You're missing work. I mean, there's a lot of things that cascade from there. What is your best advice? I get involved in an accident, and I know I got a claim, and somebody hit me. Okay, let's throw that scenario out there. It was not my fault.
Sure.
Well, what do we do? Walk me through this.
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I think this is where a lot of people can go wrong. And it's obviously based on the facts and circumstances surrounding you, what you're able to do and what you're not able to do. I think the easiest thing to do in all situations, and again, you made the hypothetical that someone's, injured. If you're not horribly injured, is to take photographs of everything. We're all driving around with cell phones these days. They have cameras, and to take photographs of everything. And what I mean by that is that it's not so important, and this is where the facts and circumstances come into play, it's not so important when it's a rear-end accident, right? You're driving, you're at a light, someone rears end you. That's what they call clear liability. There's no disputing who's at fault in that accident. Where it gets tricky and where I've seen people get into a jackpot is at an intersection, where they have what they think is a green light. They come into my office, they tell me the story, they were going through, they had a green light, someone was coming from a different direction and sideswiped them or T-boned them. They got out of the car, they exchanged information, they didn't feel that bad at the scene, and they ended up going, the next day they couldn't walk and they had to go to the hospital, and now they're having these tests done. Can I help them?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is I do, and I do my best to do whatever I can for them. But the problem is that other person went to their insurance carrier and said the same thing. They said this person came through the light, or this person didn't stop. So one of the things I always tell people to do is try to get pictures at the scene of the position your car's in, where you are in the intersection, some of the surroundings. I also try to tell them to, find anybody that what I would call an independent witness, not your brother that's sitting in the car with you, but somebody else that saw the accident, take down their name and number. Mm-hmm. The other thing to do is to file a police report, whether you get the police there to the scene or you go the next day get some type of, you know, writing memorandum, if you will, of the events that happened.
Is that mandatory, the police report, or is that just suggested right now? What's your opinion on that?
I would do it under any circumstance. It's just a kind of a CYA for yourself. I would, you know, in certain situations, like in Cleveland, if it's in the afternoon during rush hour traffic, or really any time, it's going to be hard to get a police officer there to the scene. If it's a really bad accident, I'm sure they'd come. But for a fender bender or, you know, a pretty bad accident, I don't think they'll come out. But What I would recommend you do is find the district you're at, if you are in Cleveland, and then go the next day and fill out a police report. I'd make it mandatory to.
Yeah. That's why you're on the show. We want your advice on that. Good stuff. Good stuff here. You know what? I got to take a break. I have a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
And you can stay with us for another segment here on the show. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Good, good. Brian Richard Herberth is joining us on our live line. He's one of the many fine attorneys at Kelly & Ferrara, proud sponsor of America's Workforce. The nationwide number is 800-398-1795. 800-398-1795. Also, later in the show, Sue McConnell is going to run down some more scams on behalf of the Better Business Bureau. Back in a few.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we are available on various platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and most recently, Pandora. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Brian Herberth. Brian is one of the many fine attorneys at Kelly and Ferraro. Website is kelly-ferraro.com. Two L's in Kelly, two R's in Ferraro. The nationwide number is 800-398-1795. We're talking about personal injury claims, and Brian has been doing many of them over the years. And we created a scenario in the first segment about a car accident. And just in a nutshell, the best advice is you have to almost play your own attorney there. Brian suggests if you get into a car accident, and most people have cell phones with cameras today, take as many pictures as possible. Take as many pictures as possible, and you should really try to get a police report. Make sure you kind of gather the evidence right away. So that's just a quick recap. What's the next stage here? Obviously, if it's a serious accident, you want to get an attorney involved, and that's where Kelly and Ferraro comes in. Why don't you walk me from that point on, Brian? Go ahead.
Sure, absolutely. And I think, Flash, you said it perfectly. Gather your own evidence, preserve that evidence, make sure that anything that bolsters your facts of the case, you have with you. You know, the next thing that I would tell people, especially if there's an injury, whether it's a horrific injury or if it's, you know, sore back, is to get treatment. Go in and see a doctor. If you got to go to an urgent care, an emergency room, you know, I know if you're like me, you don't want to do any of that. You'd rather just go on your day and take some Advil and move on. But you really need to go and see a doctor. One of the things why people come to me is because either it's a really bad injury, or it's because the insurance company is lowballing or denying their claim. And this is a perfect instance. What the insurance company kind of gloms onto is to say, look, if you were injured, you would have treated. If you were not feeling good, you would have went right in and saw a doctor. You waited 2 weeks. And that's what they call a gap in treatment. I get it. It's difficult. Busy lifestyles, especially in this COVID era we're in, it hasn't been fun. It hasn't been easy. But if you want to make sure that, A, you're taking care of yourself, and you're helping protect your claim, you need to see a doctor right away.
What if you get into an accident and you don't have injuries, you don't feel any pain, any part of your body, all right? But 6 months, 8 months later, something's going wrong. You got a twitch in your back. And supposedly the case, I don't know, it may not be solved at that point. What's your advice then?
That's a tough question. It would be difficult to relate your feeling lousy 6-8 months later to that accident. Certainly, it's not out of the realm of possibilities, but that would be a difficult scenario. And I think to eliminate that situation from happening, if you saw a doctor early on, you know, I guess if you're perfectly fine, you wouldn't see one. But if you're not feeling perfect but pretty much okay, if you see a doctor, you'd have a record. You know, the other part of your hypothetical is it's largely contextual and based on the circumstances and the facts. In fact, and I know your listeners are working men and women who we represent and love. They're going to have bumps and bruises and sore backs and sore knees. So it's going to be very difficult in that situation to say, hey, I'm a 45-year-old guy. I've been working with my hands and on my feet for 20 years. And I got into an accident, you know, 8 months ago, and there was $1,000 of damage on in the car. And now I'm claiming it to be from that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a difficult proposition. Yeah, but I think seeing a doctor is the best advice I can give.
Yeah, do that right away. Good advice. All right, I want to talk to you about monetary amounts here. And I'm just wondering, and I've heard this over the years, that like insurance companies have a rate. It may sound callous, but say you get into a car accident or a motorcycle accident, you lose your arm or you lose your leg. Don't they assess like a dollar amount on that?
Yeah, they have. I've never been completely behind the iron curtain there of an insurance company, but in litigation and discovery and in, you know, talking to adjusters over the years, they certainly have it's almost like an algorithm. They punch in the damage to the vehicle, you know, the speed to the vehicle at the time, the type of car it is, and it shoots out some algorithm, some formula as to the range of, say, the property damage. Well, they do that same thing with the individual. You know, low back pain, they look at the medical records, and it says low back pain, cervical strains, and they look at your age, your weight, you know, various human factors, and they say this should fall somewhere between, you know, X amount and Z. And they try to negotiate within those parameters and not pay more. With your hypothetical with the arm, my guess, if you literally lost an arm in an accident, that would be the max, whatever the policy limits are. I mean, that's a pretty catastrophic injury. You know, the one thing, too, and this kind of dovetails in your question, what we talked about earlier, there are things now in the law, and they're really something to pay attention to, but things called damage caps that come in. There's not currently any necessarily with car accidents, but there are some in personal injury or product liability cases, which is a personal injury. So damage caps is another statutory thing. When you said the law is evolving, that's another way it just dawned on me when we're talking about damages.
Yeah, I remember that some years ago, and that's when the Chamber of Commerce came in. It was not just in the state of Ohio. It was all around the country where they were kind of putting caps on it because they were saying these runaway juries are giving away millions and millions of dollars, and it's bankrupting all these companies. I remember that conversation very, very well, and they were successful. I know the respective chambers were very successful in doing that. So going forward here, that being said, how difficult is it? I mean, in the courtroom, I mean, these insurance companies, they've got some pretty good lawyers. It's a lawyer. Obviously, you're a good lawyer, and you've got some good jury awards. But that courtroom drama has got to be pretty tense at times, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this idea of, you know, 20 years ago, this mentality that plaintiffs, lawyers go in and they get these big awards, it doesn't really happen anymore. I think just the opposite. I've seen a trend over the last 10, 15 years especially, where juries look at individuals and say, well, listen, I was in a car accident and my mother was injured 10 years ago and she didn't get anything. And these awards are going lower and lower. And that's why, you know, some of the things that we talked about today are important. You know, you want to preserve the evidence. You want to make sure you treat and see your doctor because that's how you maximize your claim.
Yeah. I remember the McDonald's case, the hot coffee case. I think that goes back some years ago. And that kind of created a firestorm. The sad part about that case is the woman, and I think it was a $6 million verdict or something. I mean, she got some coffee from McDonald's and it was hot. She spilled it on her lap. She got like second degree burns. And apparently a jury gave her like $6 million, something like that. But and the media went crazy with that. But the real story is, didn't that get whittled down to like, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand dollars or something? And it also forced a change in McDonald's on the temperature of the coffee that they're serving, right?
100%. And what the news media doesn't tell you, because I've read the case and I've looked at the various appeals, is that the CEO or whoever was in charge from McDonald's got up on the stand and said, we know we serve our coffee at a temperature that a human cannot consume. It's too hot to consume. We know we do it, and we're going to continue to do it. So the large base of that judgment was based on punitive damage and punitive damages are as a tool of a jury to punish the people for behavior and to deter them from doing it in the future. So
right.
He says, you know, we're going to give you coffee that you can't drink because it's too hot, and we're going to continue to do it. So that was a big part of that judgment.
I didn't realize that part. Thanks for sharing that with our listeners. Good one. All right, Brian, good stuff. I learned a lot. I'm sure the people listening to this show and podcast learned a lot. Brian Herberth with Kelly and Ferraro, kelly-ferraro.com. Nationwide number is 800-398-1795. Let me repeat that, 800-398-1795. Good stuff. You take care. Keep safe or stay safe, I should say, and we'll be in touch, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thanks again for having me. Take care.
You got it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, lots of scams going out there. Sue McConnell's with the Better Business Bureau. She's going to run them down right here on the show.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce, where we are available on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. Welcome a dear friend, regular contributor to the show. Sue McConnell is her name, and she's the CEO of the Better Business Bureau in Cleveland, Ohio. BBB.org is the national website. And we've got a lot of scams to talk about today. Hey, Sue, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us once again.
Hey. Good to be here.
All right. Online scams. And I am not surprised by this because you got a lot of people at home due to the pandemic. They either lost their jobs or they're working from home and these scams keep popping up. And I guess your scam tracker did a report on all of this. Maybe you could share it with us.
Yeah, every year we analyze all the reports that people submit to our scam tracker site. The scam tracker site is at bbb.org/scam tracker. You can go to that site and report scams that have targeted you, whether or not you've lost money. In fact, most of the reports we get are from people who didn't lose money. They're just submitting the report to warn other people. And each report that's submitted is noted by a little pinpoint on a map of North America. So you can go to this site. You can see what kinds of scams are being reported, and you can also drill down to your own neighborhood and see what kinds of scams are being reported by drilling down on the map. And when we get this information, we ask you for some information about yourself, like your age group and your gender, how the scam targeted you, what the scam was. And then at the end of the year, we analyze all this information. So one surprising result of 2020, we tend to think that older consumers are more likely to be duped by scams, that they are just not as aware and they're more vulnerable. But in 2020, it was the 18 to 24-year-olds that reported the highest losses of dollars and the highest likelihood to lose money. So it was our younger people. But as you mentioned earlier, online scams were just exploding in 2020. And online purchase scams were the top types of scam reported to our scam tracker site. And we saw, you know, this isn't surprising because so many of us were isolated at home. We were working from home. We were living online more than many of us ever had, buying things online, getting solicited by phony employers who got jobs for you because they saw your resume posted online, all kinds of things. Early on in the pandemic, people were being duped by companies that claimed to be selling face masks or selling disinfectant cleaning products. People would send their money and they would get nothing, or they might get two face masks when they thought they were buying 50. All kinds of things started happening, and it just kept rolling, online scams. The biggest type of online scam reported and the highest dollar loss were pet scams. People who were at home, they wanted a puppy for a companion. They had time to train the puppy, and they were finding sites selling specific breeds of dogs, popular breeds of dogs that might cost you $1,500, $2,000 from a legitimate breeder. You could go online and find a website selling those dogs for $350. And the website would have pictures of adorable puppies. People would engage with the site, send money for the puppy, and then the scammer would just keep hitting you for more and more fees. You needed a shipping crate. You needed to pay shipping costs. We even had scammers tell people that the dog had to get a COVID vaccine before they could send the dog to you. And people went through all of this. they kept sending money until they finally realized there was no puppy. The pictures on the website were just phony pictures stolen from other websites. So puppy scams were really paramount. Online purchases, we've talked about this many times. You need to do your research before you buy anything from a website that you have never used before. Check the reputation of the company. You can go to BBB.org and see what we know. You can Google the name of the business. You can check their address, their listing, to make sure it's a valid address. You need to really do your homework in order to avoid losing money to online purchase scams. They are still going on. This is not stopped. We don't anticipate it stopping anytime soon.
That's interesting. 18 to 24, a population, a demographic that was really, really impacted by scams in 2020. That's one to keep an eye on. Let's move on to unemployment fraud. I know this is getting a lot of play in the state of Ohio. I can only imagine it's happening in other states. Now, why don't you explain how this is happening, Sue?
Unemployment fraud is a big problem across the country. And you find out that this is happening to employees as well as employers. As an employee, maybe you received a statement from the IRS earlier this year claiming that you had earned income from unemployment benefits that you now had to claim on your taxes, and you had never filed unemployment. Or maybe you're getting communication about your unemployment benefits this year, and you've never filed for unemployment. This is happening to a lot of people. We're hearing this a lot locally, and as I said, it's happening nationwide. As an employer, you'll get communication from the IRS about individuals who have filed claims against your business, filed unemployment claims, and you don't even know who these people are. And we've heard this from local businesses. If this has happened to you, you go to a website, unemploymenthelp.ohio.gov, unemploymenthelp.ohio.gov. And you, as an employee or an employer, can go to that website, and there is a claim form you'll fill out online about what's happened. As an individual, you also need to understand your identity's been stolen. That's what's happened. Your name, your Social Security number, has been used by a scammer to file a claim in using your personal information. So you also need to report this identity theft to your local police department and go to a website called identitytheft.gov, which is a Federal Trade Commission website. Makes it very easy for you to take steps for filing this the identity theft claim. It will explain to you how to freeze your credit reports. Everything you need to know is at identitytheft.gov. But you should do this if this happens to you because your identity has been stolen. And you know, with all the kinds of data breaches that have occurred in recent years, our names, our Social Security numbers have been stolen, and they are for sale. This information about you is for sale on the dark web. Not only your information was for sale, but there were scammers on the dark web that were selling to other scammers instructions on how to file these bogus unemployment claims at each unemployment office across the state. So as a criminal, you could buy somebody's personal information, and then you could also buy the instructions as to how to file the phony unemployment claims. Quite a business is going on.
Oh,
and the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services has been inundated with phony claims that they're having to sift through. And it is quite a problem. But if it happens to you, report it. Understand your identity's been stolen. If you're an employer and claims have been filed by people who've never worked for you, or maybe they are working for you and they're still employed, you also need to report it. Those filings will go active after, I think it's about 21 days or so. And you, as an employer, could suffer the consequences of having these claims filed against your unemployment account. So it's very important to report it and take steps if this happens to you.
Yeah, that's a big problem. Big problem in the state of Ohio and many states, as Sue indicated here. All right, one more, and that is a Social Security imposter scam. What's going on there?
Well, we're hearing a lot about this. If you go to our Scam Tracker site, you'll see this is happening all over the country and as well as here in our own backyards. People are getting phone calls, or mostly phone calls, claiming that something is happening, some suspicious activity with your Social Security account. And if you don't take immediate action, your benefits are going to be cut off. And the immediate action is usually to speak to somebody, and they will try to get personal information from you. Again, they're trying to steal your identity. So the Social Security Administration is not going to call you with this is a scammer. And with these phone calls, the scammer can also spoof the number that appears on your caller ID to make it look like it's the actual Social Security office. So if this happens, you pick up the phone, they start telling you this horrible thing. They intimidate you that you're going to be suffer legal consequences, have your benefits cut off because suspicious activity has happened with your Social Security account. Don't hang up the phone at that point. Just hang up the phone. Don't give them any information. Don't speak to them. You can call the Social Security Administration directly and confirm whether this is actually happening. But right now we're seeing a real spike in these Social Security impersonators. We've seen impersonation scams targeting all kinds of government agencies, claiming to be, they try to make themselves credible, they can scare you into providing money or personal information, and they spoof the IRS, Social Security, they can spoof healthcare providers, anything that they desire to lend credibility to make their call seem authentic.
Good advice there. While we're at it, one more thing we should bring up. Tax time is right around the corner. April 15th is when your state and federal taxes are due. And if you get an email from the IRS, ignore it. The IRS does not email. And they're still not emailing, right? I just want to be clear on that, Sue, correct?
Right. They are not. What happens to people, we encourage people to file their taxes as soon as possible to avoid the risk that somebody will file them in your name. And often people don't realize this has happened to them. It's tax ID theft until they go to file their taxes and they find out taxes have already been filed in their name. Yeah. And it's a messy thing to try to get out from under. It's not easy. It takes time. So yes, the IRS is not going to call you to confirm the bank you want your money, your refund deposited into, confirm your Social Security number, your income. They're not going to do that. So if they call, hang up the phone. If they email you, hang up the phone and just reach out to the IRS directly and see if this communication is really from them. But they do not do this. You file your taxes, and they have your information. They don't need to call you later and say, oh, well, your refund's ready to be processed. Please give me access to your bank account so that we can deposit the funds. Or please confirm that this is your Social Security number and your address and everything, your employer. That won't happen.
Yeah, good advice. All right, we're going to leave it on that note. Sue, always loaded with information. It's sad that there's so many scams out there, but it's important that you be informed. BBB.org. Thank you so much, and we'll stay in touch, okay?
Thank you.
That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades and Congressman Tim Ryan. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.